The Red Eye Radio Podcast is a service of Freightliner and Detroit.
Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. For Gary McNamara and Eric Harley, meteorologist Tom Hale. This is Red Eye Radio.
You're listening to Tom Hale, meteorologist, and we are live, L-I-V-E. And that's opposed to being dead, but the truth of the matter is you've got two meteorologists for the price of one.
That's right. I'm Steve Lenore. Good morning, everybody.
And we are here covering Florence, and Florence is still going to be a real issue even as we move forward into tomorrow. So not only are we here through the end of this hour, but we will be back again right after midnight, and depending on where you are, West Coast, you could see us at 10 o'clock. We're going to be here straight on through KSFO, San Francisco, one of my favorite radio stations. And bottom line is this, you want to stay in touch with this show, even if you're not impacted by Florence, because you're going to learn stuff about what to do that might save your life coming up when another bad storm comes along. And so, in simple terms, this can be a deadly storm. And so far, we haven't had a lot of death and destruction in that storm, but we've got five is the current count,
yeah.
Death toll. And considering the amount of flooding that we have had, I don't want to call it a blessing that it's only five, but the bottom line is, so far, we've been very lucky with this storm. On the phone, we have Tom. He's in Port Angeles, Washington. Tom, you there?
Hello, Tom. Yes, I am here.
Thank you, Tom.
Yeah, I wondered if is there any lightning associated with this?
That's a great question, okay? And the answer is not usually. Unlike the normal thunderstorms, they aren't issuing thunderstorm warnings in this event. And the reason is 60-mile-an-hour winds is the threshold for a thunderstorm warning, and then also the other threshold is 1-inch hail. Well, in tropical events, we don't really have hail. They're usually very moist and warm. And then the second aspect of it is that we already have, for the major part of the storm, sustained winds over 60 miles an hour. Now, with the latest advisory that just literally came out, that advisory shows 50-mile-an-hour winds in Tropical Storm Florence. And so we are still a significant tropical storm, but we don't have the severe thunderstorm-type winds, but that doesn't include gusts. That's just the sustained winds. And so in that situation, we normally don't have a lot of lightning with this, although what we do have is brief opposing wind fields where on a Doppler radar, if you were to look at it and it were in velocity mode, you would see a green dot and a red dot. And the red dot is kind of like the taillights. The wind or the air is being tracked, and it's moving away from the radar. And the green, the bright green dot, it's coming toward the radar. And so if those two are adjacent next to each other, we call it a couplet. And we could measure those speeds, combine them, and get an idea that there could be a tornado in that particular area. So the bulletins you're going to see that are going to come out are going to be primarily all tornado warnings when they find a couplet. And in the warning description, they're going to say a severe thunderstorm capable of producing this. And we can't rule out some lightning in this situation.
Let me weigh in on this, Tom.
Yeah.
Typically, when you have a mature hurricane, there's a lot of thunderstorms in the eyewall that will produce lightning. And then when these spiral rain bands come out more during the day, there will be lightning with those because daytime heating makes them more intense. But yeah, typically your garden variety tropical storm or hurricane will have less lightning than, let's say, a squall line coming across the plains in a cold front. But we definitely can get some lightning in there.
Yeah.
You bet. Okay. Well, that helps make that helps make a more complete picture. If you were dressed for the beach and you were standing in a 50-knot wind and it's coming down 2 inches a minute, how long would it take you to go into hypothermia?
Wow. Now you're talking our language, because Steve and I are both geeks, so we're going to start trying to figure this one out. Okay. Give us this.
You'd get cooked to death because of the latent heat release from that much rain would probably raise the temperature.
Yeah, you know, that's right. That's a lot of rain. And give us that rain figure, like two inches
a minute.
A minute, yeah. Yeah.
That would be pretty intense.
Yeah, that would be a lot of latent heat release.
I mean, it'd have to happen, I think, for some period of time to cause that to happen.
Yeah, exactly. You wouldn't want to lay it on the sidewalk, and hopefully you couldn't cook an egg with that. But
you couldn't cook an egg with that.
Yeah, yes. Hypothermia is also determined by the air temperature. If it's 90 degrees, you know, that'd make a big difference.
If the wind's blowing 50 miles an hour, that's going to carry it away really fast, too.
Yeah, I'd say stay inside and you'd be good.
Mm-hmm.
This is a pretty interesting show. It's like wall-to-wall hurricane all night long. And you say hi to Eric and Carrie for me. And be good, take care, and you guys are doing a great job.
Well, thanks for being
a faithful listener.
Yeah, we really appreciate it, and the fact to even be mentioned in the same sentence with Eric and Gary is a big honor. You know, I can tell you that we really appreciate the calls, and we're having fun, but we're not trying to have fun at the expense of anybody, because we really do want to be able to, if we can save one life, somebody from doing something dumb like driving on through flooded roads or anything else, and just provide enough information. And I'm really proud of Westwood One and Red Eye Radio that made the decision that they wanted to make sure that when these kind of events happen, that they are ramped up and ready to provide that kind of service. And there are people that are out in Los Angeles and all kinds of other parts of the country, and they're benefiting from the experience vicariously of what's going on here, like 40,000 power industry workers from around the country have mobilized and are waiting right now to get into areas as the winds die down so they can restore the power. There's 882,000 people in North and South Carolina that do not have power. And so it's going to be a little while from that. And then Steve and I just talked about it earlier. There are roads out there that are dangerously close to some of the rivers, and these rivers are going to be coming out of their banks, and they'll be within feet of historic levels to begin with, and they could start flooding roads. And so if it's a road isn't flooded right now, Steve, the chances are that if it's in the wrong spot with this heavy rain, and frankly, there's a rain band out there that is pretty incredible.
Yeah, I want to read something to you real quick, and then I want to tell you about the rain band. North Carolina Department of Transportation tweeted something that came from the North Carolina Emergency Management folks, and that is this. Here's what they said. We cannot share this enough. In case of flooding, all caps, move to higher ground. And do not drive into standing or flooded water. If you have to be out, remember these life-saving tips. Don't put yourself in harm's way. And wanting to go down to a store and get a beer is not a reason to have to go somewhere, okay? You know, I need a gallon of milk. That's not a reason to go somewhere. A reason to go somewhere is a medical emergency, something like that, okay? So just kind of keep that in perspective. Now let's talk about the rain band. It's just unbelievable. This storm is moving so slowly. It's still tapping a lot of warm, moist air off the Gulf Stream, which runs offshore of North and South Carolina. And we're looking at the radar right now from the National Weather Service. The core of the storm is still only about 30 miles west of Myrtle Beach. I mean, it's barely moving, maybe 5 miles an hour. I think that's a little high. That's what the Hurricane Center says. But there's a spiral band that runs all the way from Raleigh down through Goldsboro, Jacksonville, and at least 100 miles out to sea. Now, I've been checking some of the rain gauge reports. Jacksonville's getting rain at more than an inch per hour. That's on top of more than 2 feet of rain they've already had there. It's just unbelievable. I mean, this is like Hurricane Harvey kind of rain. And you know what happened with Houston last year. All-time record crests are forecast on several rivers in central and eastern North Carolina by early next week. And that water will take many days to drain off. So we're looking at a prolonged flood event. Tom, and did our guest from Washington State have anything else he'd like to talk to us about? We'd love to hear more.
Well, actually, he has dropped off and thanked us for being here, and we thank him for his participation. other places in the country that do have big issues with rain is Las Vegas, and we've got Joanne in Las Vegas. Joanne, hey, welcome aboard Red Eye Radio. You got meteorologist Tom Hamm, myself, and meteorologist Steve Lenore. Hey, tell me, what's up?
Well, people forget that we have mountains all around Las Vegas, and often it rains and comes down rushing in the valley, and people don't even know about it. Last year, we almost lost an elderly couple. They had to pry open, like a can opener, their roof to pull them out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because they got stuck. Would you please play that Turn Around, Don't Drown song? That's really good.
Why not?
Well, you know, I have to tell you this. Joanne, you brought up an incredibly important point. And this is, do you have some tourists ever show up in Las Vegas?
No way.
Oh, Lord, I think so.
Yeah, and so there are people listening to us in L.A. and New York, okay, Chicago, San Francisco, and around the country. And guess what, okay? Some of you may actually end up in Las Vegas. I know you can't even imagine that right now, but you might actually end up in Las Vegas sometime within your future. And if you do, what she is talking about is so real and so dangerous, because the flash flooding that comes off Charleston and all the different mountaintops that are there, the ones that go over the hill to Pahrump, and all those that drains right down, and it's almost abrupt. If you're going out into the valley, the West Valley, and next thing you know, boom, the mountain range just jumps up, and it probably won't be raining where you're at when the water comes rushing on through.
Well, a lot of folks may not know this. Go ahead, Joanne.
When I first moved here, we lost. They hadn't really started digging the flood control channels.
Yep.
We would lose 5 to 6, usually kids, thinking they could go play and swim in it.
Yeah.
I lived in San Antonio 9 years. Had the same problem down there. Different kind of a climate, of course. But I was going to say, Tom, and I think a lot of our listeners, you know that Las Vegas has a swift water rescue team, which is now in North Carolina helping in New Bern, because you guys do get so many flash floods. In fact, you only get about 4 inches of rain a year. It usually falls in two-inch storms, am I right, in July and August. And
exactly right. We're getting our monsoons probably next week.
So, and also, your swift water rescue team is also split up, and they're also in Hampton Roads, Virginia, because these rain bands, and when it swings up to the north, if it cuts across Hampton Roads, you know, there's 245,000 homes or residents in that particular area of Norfolk and Virginia Beach and Hampton Roads that are either at or even some places below sea level. And when these rains come through, they're anticipating having a need for high water rescue, and so they've asked for the Las Vegas high water rescue teams to be out there. They are probably one of the best and most skilled high water rescue teams in the country.
And I've seen less than 2 inches of rain in Las Vegas cause a 6-foot deep flash flood, because it's so rocky there. It's all concrete and rocks. There's just no place for the water to go.
You know,
and they're in the bottom of the valley, too, so it all runs into the strip.
Right, and before they built the channel, so you just dated yourself, by the way, Joanne.
Which means your meals are half price.
Yeah. And so, yeah, they are half right. And before they built the channels, you know what they called that place where the channels are now? They called it a wash.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, they called it a wash. And it happens in the usual places in most cases. This storm out in the Carolinas, we are in a situation with this storm where flooding is not happening in the usual places. But in Las Vegas, when they have a rain, that rain fills those usual places called a wash. And so it's about situational awareness, and know that these are the places that regularly flood and pond on roads and stuff that become dangerous as you move along through a rainstorm in a environment with steep mountains and flat terrain. And so in any case, I can't thank you enough for your call. And you brought up some very valuable points that I think our listeners will probably flock to Las Vegas and hunt you down. And thank you very much, Joanne. You're listening to Red Eye Radio, and you've got Tom Hale, Steve Lenore. We will be taking your calls at Red Eye Radio, so please don't go away and stay. Come back.
Lines open for your calls. 866-90-RED-EYE on Red Eye Radio.
It was a hurricane. Hurricane Florence, barreling its way to the Carolina coastline. And last night, around this time, it came ashore. It came ashore in Wrightsville Beach. Wrightsville Beach Police Chief Daniel House had a press conference this evening at around 9 o'clock. He'll have another press conference at 9 o'clock this morning.
Just kind of want to go over what had happened today and kind of what we're planning in the near future. Over the course of the day, we did a lot of preliminary assessments of the town to try to see what kind of damage the town had. We mostly saw small debris, roof shingles sitting in the road, limbs, that type of thing. Not a lot of big debris. Mostly what we saw, we did see a couple of structures that had some roofing damage. Our Parks and Rec building was one of them. It had a roof that was partly torn off, not the Fran Russ Center, but the other buildings. We had a few large trees down. There wasn't a lot of them. There were a couple. And then there was a couple of live oaks that we saw that actually was split in half, and we're probably going to lose those. But for the most part, we've been exceptionally fortunate. There wasn't the damage that we thought we were going to have. We know that the eye went directly over us, and that had a lot to do with talking to meteorologists why we had less damage than people north of us and south of us. But at 12:03, we did have our high tide. When we did, there was definitely some flooding. We were on the beach at one point, and there was almost no flooding. And then we went off, and about 30 minutes later, it had risen about 3 feet in like 30 minutes. We went out, but for the most part on the beach, it was only about 6 to 8 inches. There were some places that were probably closer to a foot, maybe a little bit more, but it wasn't too bad. For the most part, we're looking down the road, and it was like people's yards. It was like actually in the road. It wasn't up in the yard or near their house. Other places, they had their garages, and it was in where probably, so you would have some maybe where your garage would be. But it wasn't too bad. That was about noon today. Tomorrow morning, the town officials are all going to go out, and we're going to do another evaluation of the town. We're going to look at the damage, and the big thing we're looking to do is to try to get some of our systems back online. We don't know how long that will take. It's been many years since we had to do a total shutdown, so we're looking to get those back up. So, again, residents, we ask you to be patient with us while we're doing it. We're really trying to, as quickly as we can, restore the town. But it's probably going to be into early next week before everybody's going to be able to come back. So I just wanted to be let you know. The big thing that we want to do is make sure that everyone's safe when they do come back. This is all about life safety. We're not trying to keep people from getting to the beach. Trust me, I want to get back to my home just like everyone else does. So. Our hope is to really get that done by the early part of the week, but that's all going to depend on the damage we have tonight. There's pretty big winds that we didn't expect. There's also another high tide, so that'll be coming. So we don't know what that's going to do. We think it's going to be less than before. However, what we really want to do is make sure everybody's safe when they get back. So with that said, we are going to have another briefing at 9 o'clock in the morning. Hopefully it wouldn't be as big of a mess as it was tonight. But just want to send this out to everybody so they can hear actually what was said during that news conference. Thank you. Have a great night. Be safe.
Daniel Wright, he is the police chief of Wrightsville Beach, and that's where it made landfall last night.
And, Tom, we have an update from the National Hurricane Center. They say the center of Florence is 30 miles west of Myrtle Beach inland and moving west-southwest at 5, but it really looks like it's almost stationary. Tremendous rain bands continue to come in over eastern North Carolina. Rainfall still 1 to 2 inches per hour. It's a dangerous storm, but the wind is dropping off.
And we're going to be checking in with the National Hurricane Center to get an idea of what's coming up, if the storm is moving or not. Stay tuned to Red Eye Radio.
Phone lines are open. 1-866-907-3339. 866-90-RED-EYE. For Gary McNamara and Eric Harley, here is meteorologist Tom Hale.
Thank you very much. Big, deep voice. And we are following Tropical Storm Florence as it continues to dump large amounts of rain. And it also has, the winds are not as stiff, but the problem is that the rain seems to be training over the same place, and it's really hard to tell if it's moving or not moving at all. And so let's go to the experts here at the National Hurricane Center, located in Miami, right by that big university, Miami. We have Dennis Felkin. He is the public affairs officer there. Dennis, are you there with me?
Good morning.
Good morning. So tell me, Dennis, how does a meteorologist that comes out of the frigid north of Minnesota end up in Miami?
It's a long and winding road, and probably more airtime than I've got to explain.
I bet so. I think it's pretty obvious. Everybody from Chicago and the north wants to live in Miami. Congratulations.
Yeah, it's funny. When I retire out of here in the good Lord willing here in a couple years, I'm going back to Minnesota.
Oh, my gosh. Here. There, I just make you feel at home. Hey,
What's
going on with Florence right now? This is the poor man's meteorologist geek thing. We've measured that in the 5 hours that Steve Lenore and myself have been on the air, we have measured that it has moved 10 miles from Myrtle Beach to the west or so in that direction. That works out to be 2 miles,
right.
2 miles an hour is its current movement.
That's pretty close. The official tabulation from our senior hurricane specialist has it moving west-southwest at 5 miles per hour, and that's just kind of spits and spurts. It's spent most of the late night and pre-dawn hours parked essentially over extreme eastern South Carolina. So as long as the core of the storm is over land, it, of course, is going to be weakening. Winds are now down to a maximum of 50 miles per hour with higher gusts, and this is exactly what we expected. This is transforming now from a wind event along the coast and the storm surge now to a catastrophic rain event over the interior portions, especially South Carolina and North Carolina. We've got some rainfall amounts of have already exceeded 24 inches. That's in Newport, North Carolina, and that was as of midnight.
Wow,
feet of rain.
Newport. Don't you guys have a radar up in Newport?
We have our radars all over the East Coast, so but that's an actual rainfall measurement. That's not a Doppler estimate. That's an actual rainfall estimate.
No, what I was meaning is you've got a weather office up in Newport, also Newport, Morehead City area?
Yes, we sure do.
And I have yet to be able to talk to them because apparently they've got power, phone, all kinds of issues.
Right. I think they have their hands full there.
Yeah, it's an understatement. How much? Repeat that again for our listeners, how much rain that is?
We have a measurement of 24 inches. That's 2 feet of rainfall at Newport, North Carolina, and that's as of midnight. It's still raining.
Well, and do you have a figure handy right now for just a little bit down the road at Morehead City?
I don't have any current estimates. I know as of 5 p.m. yesterday, they were already up to about 20 inches, but okay. I don't have any figures yet.
Okay, I believe I saw some number that they were up over 30 inches. There.
That would make sense. They were in that area that the Weather Prediction Center was saying commonly 20 to 30 with isolated 40, so they're probably well on their way. And as you mentioned earlier, with this thing parked over extreme South Carolina, we've got these bands of heavy, heavy rainfall, which are essentially training over the same areas. So not only are they getting the torrential rain, but there's nowhere for the water to go but up.
Well, I'm looking at a band that is just below the Outer Banks, which seems to be one edge is near Morehead City, Atlantic Beach, and that band of rain then stretches back down to somewhere near like Sneed's Ferry or North Topsail Beach. And that band looks to be about 100 miles long going into the Atlantic. On radar,
That's exactly it. I'm staring at it right now on the radar, and that is exactly what's going on. And this is just rinse and repeat. It just keeps going over the same area.
We call
it would
that
be a very different scenario if the storm was moving quickly, but it's not. So you're getting all this heavy rain over essentially the same area.
And so it's training, folks. This is what
it's
we
training.
Call training.
Yeah.
And
the boxcar effect, right.
Exactly. In other words, there is a track that runs 100 miles out into the Atlantic, and it curves around, and it pushes its way up and ends up somewhere near, let's see here, Goldsboro maybe, LaGrange, Kingston, New Bern, and that's the northern edge of it. And so if you are in Richards, Half Moon, oh, my goodness, yeah. Jacksonville. Yeah.
The point we want to get across to all our listeners here is this is a life-threatening, catastrophic event for the flash floods and the prolonged significant river flooding. We're going to be talking into this early next week, and this is going to continue over the Carolinas today, the southern to central Appalachians from western North Carolina into west central Virginia, and even far western West Virginia are going to feel the direct impacts of this thing. And to make it worse, there actually could be some landslides in the higher terrain because of all the water just pulling on those trees and just pulling everything down.
In fact, we're going to do some checking on the Appalachian Trail shortly in regards to the landslide issues. But what I'm hearing you say is something like turn around, don't drown.
Turn around, don't drown.
Yeah. By the way, were you guys the ones responsible at the Weather Service for that song?
Yes, it was the National Weather Service that I don't think anybody in the Weather Service wrote the lyrics. I think they got a professional for that, but or scientist. But
yeah.
it's a good jingle, and it's been a very good campaign. It's very simple, easy to remember. And it works, and we hope people will just remember those four simple words that could save your life. Turn around, don't drown.
Wow, incredible. And by the way, you need to pass this up the chain at the Weather Service. After we started playing the song this evening, it lit up our phones across the country. We had calls from the West Coast to the East Coast, and so you may have a chart-moving hit on your hands. Turn around, don't drown. Yeah.
Maybe we'll make the Billboard Top 40.
I think you just start sending that out, emailing that clip to every radio station, tell them add it to their rotation of current hits, without a doubt. It'll be very popular. It'll be very popular in the Carolinas right now.
Yes.
Dennis, thank you very much for your time. I appreciate it very much. I know you need to get back and get the ball rolling, letting people know what's going on. And if you can do anything about speeding this bad boy up, that would be great.
My saying in TV, as you know, is because you've done it too, we're in sales, not production, but we hope for the best.
Yeah, without a doubt. This is Dennis Felkin. Dennis is your title is Public Affairs Director?
Communications and Public Affairs Officer, National Hurricane Center.
Well, thank you very much. We appreciate your time, and you guys are doing a great job.
Thank you, sir. Much appreciated.
You have a great morning and the rest of the day. All right. You know what? I think in honor of Dennis's movement of let's make sure we do it right, why don't we do it one more time?
If the water is flowing at the low water crossing, turn around.
Yeehaw! Everybody join me here. Yeehaw!
Don't risk your life. Don't do it. You might not make it through. Turn around.
Yeehaw!
Turn around. Take a little time and heed the warning signs and turn around, turn around, turn around,
turn around,
and don't drown.
Do not drown, yeah. You know what? The one nice thing about that song, it is the perfect lead-in to the next thing that I want to talk about here on Red Eye Radio. And by the way, we're going to be here, Steve Lenore and myself are going to be back here again tomorrow night. So please join us. We'll be here at 10 o'clock Pacific time and 1 o'clock East Coast time and all the time in between. But mudslides, Dennis mentioned that, in the hills and the mountains that border the Carolinas, it's going to still rain there. And it's going to be raining there into Monday and into Tuesday. And because of the tropical moisture that is thick, this is rich atmosphere. If you're in it, you know what I'm talking about. It's almost kind of like thick. You breathe it in and it's almost moisture. And short and sweet about all this bad boy is that the Appalachians are not going to be in good shape.
The National Park Service and the U.S. Forest Service have closed portions of the trail in both North Carolina and Virginia because of the storm. The Appalachian Trail Conservancy is urging hikers to get off the trail and seek shelter. The nonprofit says dangerous conditions could include falling trees, flash floods, and mudslides.
And that's Westwood One's correspondent Bill Michaels wanting to let you know that mudslides are going to be an issue, and so the situational awareness, know where you live. If you live in one of those places that has runoff and rain, then know where you live and be prepared to recognize this is going to be one of those situations where we could have some very dangerous mudslides from the rains associated with Tropical Storm Florence as we finally work our way to get Florence out of here. But currently, Florence isn't moving all that fast, about 2 miles an hour. Now, you'll see it on the bulletins as 5, because I think that's about as low down as they're allowed to go. So we'll be right back on Red Eye Radio. This is meteorologist Tom Hale, Steve Lenore. We'll be right back.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
Meteorologist Tom Hale, along with Steve Lenore, meteorologist. And by the way, we're going to be back tonight to continue the coverage overnight into Sunday morning in regards to Tropical Storm Florence. It still has a lot more rain to dump, and we've got Westwood One news correspondent Clayton Neville, and he is in, Clayton, you're in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina right now. Am I correct?
Yeah, guys, that's right. I'm in Myrtle Beach, been here for the last couple days. You know, it was kind of hard when I first got here tracking the storm because it kept changing directions. We didn't realize how far south it was going to go, and then I had to head back north. So I've been to Raleigh, down to Charleston, and then now planted here in Myrtle Beach for the last couple days. And since I've got here, the rain has been coming down. It hasn't stopped, and it doesn't look like it's going to let up anytime soon.
No, actually, I'm looking at it right here, and I can tell you that if you go further down the beach line, the rain lets up a little bit. But when you come in down on what would be road down to 17 and the road that goes up to, Cold Spring and toward Homewood and Conway, back up in that direction, the rain continues to intensify right around the heart of that circulation. And by the way, you may not have noticed this, but it hasn't really moved.
No, yeah, you know what? That's funny that you say that because, of course, the story has been how slow moving it is. But, I did get a couple hours sleep, and so I jumped up, looked outside, and the conditions hadn't changed much at all. In fact, it almost seemed the exact same as when I went to bed a few hours ago compared to how it is this morning. The winds have actually calmed down a little bit, it seems like. But other than that, it's still dark, and rain is still coming down pretty steadily. Now, it's not like an extreme heavy downpour, but it's just consistent windy rain, and it's been that way for, probably 24 hours now at least.
And what you actually have, Clayton, is you've got the good part of the storm. I know that may seem crazy, but you have the wind, but you also have the good part of the storm, because if you go further up the coastline, and you get up toward north of Wilmington and back up through Topsail and in that direction and over to Jacksonville, everything in that particular area, there are strong thunderstorm bands that extend a feeder band over 100 miles down into the Atlantic, and it's then just swinging its way northward as it moves its way through, training over the exact same places. And so for the folks that are going to be up near Raleigh and all the way down to the coastline and up to Warsaw and Clinton and Jacksonville, there are some bands that are just going to be continual heavy downpours of at least an inch to sometimes an inch to 2 inches an hour, and it's just going to continue. So easily tonight, overnight, they could pick up anywhere from 4 to 8 inches of additional rain in this band coming across Wilmington and to the south of Raleigh and through Fayetteville. What you have is the light, steady rain that's coming through right near the eye of the storm.
Yeah, and so what officials here in Myrtle Beach will be looking at here in just a couple hours when the sun comes up is, you know, how much flooding has been caused by this. It won't nearly be as much, it doesn't look like, as what they're dealing with in parts of North Carolina at all. And, you know, one of the main concerns was how is this area going to be able to handle all of this water? And, of course, today won't be the only predictor of that. They'll have to deal with tomorrow and the next day and probably the next few after that with all of the rivers peeking out and cresting. But as far as Myrtle Beach and that surrounding area is concerned, it seems like, and we'll tell more when the sun comes up, but they've fared okay so far.
Well, we're looking forward to hearing your reports as we go through tomorrow. Clayton Neville, correspondent with Westwood One in Myrtle Beach. And I'm meteorologist Tom Hale, along with meteorologist Steve Lenore. We're going to be back tonight and continuing into Sunday morning as our continuous coverage continues of Tropical Storm Florence.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One. Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. For Gary McNamara and Eric Harley, meteorologist Tom Hale. This is Red Eye Radio.
You're listening to Tom Hale, meteorologist, and we are live, L-I-V-E. And that's opposed to being dead, but the truth of the matter is you've got two meteorologists for the price of one.
That's right. I'm Steve Lenore. Good morning, everybody.
And we are here covering Florence, and Florence is still going to be a real issue even as we move forward into tomorrow. So not only are we here through the end of this hour, but we will be back again right after midnight, and depending on where you are, West Coast, you could see us at 10 o'clock. We're going to be here straight on through KSFO, San Francisco, one of my favorite radio stations. And bottom line is this, you want to stay in touch with this show, even if you're not impacted by Florence, because you're going to learn stuff about what to do that might save your life coming up when another bad storm comes along. And so, in simple terms, this can be a deadly storm. And so far, we haven't had a lot of death and destruction in that storm, but we've got five is the current count,
yeah.
Death toll. And considering the amount of flooding that we have had, I don't want to call it a blessing that it's only five, but the bottom line is so far we've been very lucky with this storm. On the phone, we have Tom. He's in Port Angeles, Washington. Tom, you there?
Hello, Tom. Yes, I am here.
Thank you, Tom.
Yeah, I wondered if is there any lightning associated with this?
That's a great question, okay? And the answer is not usually. Unlike the normal thunderstorms, they aren't issuing thunderstorm warnings in this event. And the reason is 60-mile-an-hour winds is the threshold for a thunderstorm warning, and then also the other threshold is one-inch hail. Well, in tropical events, we don't really have hail. They're usually very moist and warm. And then the second aspect of it is that we already have, for the major part of the storm, sustained winds over 60 miles an hour. Now, with the latest advisory that just literally came out, that advisory shows 50-mile-an-hour winds in Tropical Storm Florence. And so we are still a significant tropical storm, but we don't have the severe thunderstorm-type winds, but that doesn't include gusts. That's just the sustained winds. And so in that situation, we normally don't have a lot of lightning with this, although what we do have is brief opposing wind fields where on a Doppler radar, if you were to look at it and it were in velocity mode, you would see a green dot and a red dot. And the red dot is kind of like the taillights. The wind or the air is being tracked, and it's moving away from the radar. And the green, the bright green dot, it's coming toward the radar. And so if those two are adjacent next to each other, we call it a couplet. and we could measure those speeds, combine them, and get an idea that there could be a tornado in that particular area. So the bulletins you're going to see that are going to come out are going to be primarily all tornado warnings when they find a couplet. And in the warning description, they're going to say a severe thunderstorm capable of producing this. And we can't rule out some lightning in this situation.
Let me weigh in on this, Tom.
Yeah.
Typically, when you have a mature hurricane, there's a lot of thunderstorms in the eyewall that will produce lightning. And then when these spiral rain bands come out more during the day, there will be lightning with those because daytime heating makes them more intense. But yeah, typically your garden variety tropical storm or hurricane will have less lightning than, let's say, a squall line coming across the plains in a cold front. But we definitely can get some lightning in there.
Yeah.
You bet. Okay. Well, that helps make that helps make a more complete picture. If you were dressed for the beach and you were standing in a 50-knot wind and it's coming down 2 inches a minute, how long would it take you to go into hypothermia?
Wow. Now you're talking our language because Steve and I are both geeks, so we're going to start trying to figure this one out. Okay. Give us this.
You'd get cooked to death because of the latent heat release from that much rain would probably raise the temperature.
Yeah, you know, that's right. That's a lot of rain. And give us that rain figure, like two inches
a minute.
A minute, yeah. Yeah.
That would be pretty intense.
Yeah, that would be a lot of latent heat release.
I mean, it'd have to happen, I think, for some period of time to cause that to happen.
Yeah, exactly. You wouldn't want to lay it on the sidewalk, and hopefully you couldn't cook an egg with that. But
hypothermia is also determined by the air temperature. If it's 90 degrees, you know, that make a big difference.
If the wind's blowing 50 miles an hour, that's going to carry it away really fast, too.
Yeah. I'd say stay inside and you'd be good.
Mm-hmm. Have you got one more for us?
This is a pretty interesting show. It's like wall-to-wall hurricane all night long. And say hi to Eric and Carrie for me. And be good, take care, and you guys are doing a great job.
Well, thanks for being
a faithful listener.
Yeah, we really appreciate it. And the fact to even be mentioned in the same sentence with Eric and Gary is a big honor. I can tell you that we really appreciate the calls, and we're having fun, but we're not trying to have fun at the expense of anybody because we really do want to be able to, if we can save one life, somebody from doing something dumb like driving on through flooded roads or anything else, and just provide enough information. And I'm really proud of Westwood One and Red Eye Radio that made the decision that they wanted to make sure that when these kind of events happen, that they are ramped up and ready to provide that kind of service. And there are people that are out in Los Angeles and all kinds of other parts of the country, and they're benefiting from the experience vicariously of what's going on here, like 40,000 power industry workers from around the country have mobilized and are waiting right now to get into areas as the winds die down so they can restore the power. There's 882,000 people in North and South Carolina that do not have power. And it's going to be a little while from that. And then Steve and I just talked about it earlier. There are roads out there that are dangerously close to some of the rivers, and these rivers are going to be coming out of their banks, and they'll be within feet of historic levels to begin with, and they could start flooding roads. And so if it's a road isn't flooded right now, Steve, the chances are that if it's in the wrong spot with this heavy rain, and frankly, there's a rain band out there that is pretty incredible.
Yeah, I want to read something to you real quick, and then I want to tell you about the rain band. North Carolina Department of Transportation tweeted something that came from the North Carolina Emergency Management folks, and that is this. Here's what they said. We cannot share this enough. In case of flooding, all caps, move to higher ground. And do not drive into standing or flooded water. If you have to be out, remember these life-saving tips. Don't put yourself in harm's way. And wanting to go down to a store and get a beer is not a reason to have to go somewhere, okay? You know, I need a gallon of milk. That's not a reason to go somewhere. A reason to go somewhere is a medical emergency, something like that, okay? So just kind of keep that in perspective. Now let's talk about the rain band. It's just unbelievable. This storm is moving so slowly, It's still tapping a lot of warm, moist air off the Gulf Stream, which runs offshore of North and South Carolina. And we're looking at the radar right now from the National Weather Service. The core of the storm is still only about 30 miles west of Myrtle Beach. I mean, it's barely moving, maybe 5 miles an hour. I think that's a little high. That's what the Hurricane Center says. But there's a spiral band that runs all the way from Raleigh down through Goldsboro, Jacksonville, and at least 100 miles out to sea. Now, I've been checking some of the rain gauge reports. Jacksonville's getting rain at more than an inch per hour. That's on top of more than 2 feet of rain they've already had there. It's just unbelievable. I mean, this is like Hurricane Harvey kind of rain. And you know what happened with Houston last year. All-time record crests are forecast on several rivers in central and eastern North Carolina by early next week. And that water will take many days to drain off. So we're looking at a prolonged flood event. Tom, and did our guest from Washington State have anything else he'd like to talk to us about? We'd love to hear more.
Well, actually, he has dropped off and thanked us for being here, and we thank him for his participation. Other places in the country that do have big issues with rain is Las Vegas, and we've got Joanne in Las Vegas. Joanne, hey, welcome aboard Red Eye Radio. You got meteorologist Tom Hill, myself, and meteorologist Steve Lenore. Hey, tell me, what's up?
Well, people forget that we have mountains all around Las Vegas, and often it rains and comes down rushing in the valley, and people don't even know about it. Last year, we almost lost an elderly couple. They had to pry open, like a can opener, their roof to pull them out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because they got stuck. Would you please play that Turn Around, Don't Drown song? That's really good.
Why not?
Well, you know, I have to tell you this. I have to tell you this. Joanne, you brought up an incredibly important point. And this is, do you have some tourists ever show up in Las Vegas?
No way.
Oh, Lord, I think so.
Yeah, and so there are people listening to us in L.A. and New York, okay, Chicago, San Francisco, and around the country. And guess what, okay? Some of you may actually end up in Las Vegas. I know you can't even imagine that right now, but you might actually end up in Las Vegas sometime within your future. And if you do, what she is talking about is so real and so dangerous, because the flash flooding that comes off Charleston and all the different mountaintops that are there, the ones that go over the hill to Pahrumph, and all those that drains right down, and it's almost abrupt. If you're going out into the valley, you know, the West Valley, and next thing you know, boom, the mountain range just jumps up, and it probably won't be raining where you're at when the water comes rushing on through.
Well, a lot of folks may not know this. Go ahead, Joanne.
When I first moved here, we lost, they hadn't really started digging the flood control channels.
Yep.
We would lose 5 to 6, usually kids, thinking they could go play and swim in it.
Yeah.
I lived in San Antonio 9 years, had the same problem down there, different kind of a climate, of course. But I was going to say, Tom, and I think a lot of our listeners, you know that Las Vegas has a swift water rescue team, which is now in North Carolina helping in New Bern, because you guys do get so many flash floods. In fact, you only get about 4 inches of rain a year. It usually falls in two-inch storms, am I right, in July and August. And
exactly right. We're getting our monsoons probably next week.
So, and also, your swift water rescue team is also split up, and they're also in Hampton Roads, Virginia. Because these rain bands, and when it swings up to the north, if it cuts across Hampton Roads, you know, there's 245,000 homes or residents in that particular area of Norfolk and Virginia Beach and Hampton Roads that are either at or even some places below sea level. And when these rains come through, they're anticipating having a need for high water rescue, and so they've asked for the Las Vegas high water rescue teams to be out there. They are probably one of the best and most skilled high water rescue teams in the country.
And I've seen less than 2 inches of rain in Las Vegas cause a 6-foot deep flash flood, because it's so rocky there. It's all concrete and rocks. There's just no place for the water to go.
You know,
and they're in the bottom of the valley, too, so it all runs into the strip.
Right. And before they built the channel, so you just dated yourself, by the way, Joanne.
Which means your meals are half price.
Yeah. And so, yeah, they are half price. And before they built the channels, you know what they called that place where the channels are now? They called it a wash.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, they called it a wash. And
oh,
that was,
yeah.
It's happens in the usual places in most cases. This storm out in the Carolinas, we are in a situation with this storm where flooding is not happening in the usual places. But in Las Vegas, when they have a rain, that rain fills those usual places called a wash. And so it's about situational awareness and know that these are the places that regularly flood and pond on roads and stuff that become dangerous as you move along through a rainstorm in a environment with steep mountains and flat terrain. And so in any case, I can't thank you enough for your call. And you brought up some very valuable points that I think our listeners will probably flock to Las Vegas and hunt you down. And thank you very much, Joanne. You're listening to Red Eye Radio, and you've got Tom Hale, Steve Lenore. We will be taking your calls at Red Eye Radio, so please don't go away and stay. Come back.
Lines open for your calls. 866-90-RED-EYE on Red Eye Radio.
It was a hurricane. Hurricane Florence, barreling its way to the Carolina coastline. And last night, around this time, it came ashore. It came ashore in Wrightsville Beach. Wrightsville Beach Police Chief Daniel House had a press conference this evening at around 9 o'clock. He'll have another press conference at 9 o'clock this morning.
Just kind of want to go over what had happened today and kind of what we're planning in the near future. Over the course of the day, we did a lot of preliminary assessments of the town to try to see what kind of damage the town had. We mostly saw small debris, roof shingles sitting in the road, limbs, that type of thing. Not a lot of big debris. Mostly what we saw, we did see a couple of structures that had some roofing damage. Our Parks and Rec building was one of them. The roof was partly torn off, not the Fran Russ Center, but the other buildings. We had a few large trees down. There wasn't a lot of them. There were a couple. And then there was a couple of live oaks that we saw that actually was split in half, and we're probably going to lose those. But for the most part, we've been exceptionally fortunate. There wasn't the damage that we thought we were going to have. We know that the eye went directly over us, and that had a lot to do with talking to meteorologists why we had less damage than people north of us and south of us. But at 12:03, we did have our high tide. When we did, there was definitely some flooding. We were on the beach at one point, and there was almost no flooding. And then we went off, and about 30 minutes later, it had risen about 3 feet in like 30 minutes. We went out, but for the most part on the beach, it was only about 6 to 8 inches. There were some places that were probably closer to a foot, maybe a little bit more, but it wasn't too bad. For the most part, we're looking down the road, and it was like people's yards. It was like actually in the road. It wasn't up in the yard or near their house. Other places, they had their garages, and it was in where probably, so you would have some maybe where your garage would be. But it wasn't too bad. That was about noon today. Tomorrow morning, the town officials are all going to go out, and we're going to do another evaluation of the town. We're going to look at the damage, and the big thing we're looking to do is to try to get some of our systems back online. We don't know how long that will take. It's been many years since we had to do a total shutdown, so we're looking to get those back up. So, again, residents, we ask you to be patient with us while we're doing it. We're really trying to, as quickly as we can, restore the town. But it's probably going to be into early next week before everybody's going to be able to come back. So I just wanted to be let you know. The big thing that we want to do is make sure that everyone's safe when they do come back. This is all about life safety. We're not trying to keep people from getting to the beach. Trust me, I want to get back to my home just like everyone else does. So. Our hope is to really get that done by the early part of the week, but that's all going to depend on the damage we have tonight. There's pretty pretty big winds that we didn't expect. There's also another high tide, so that'll be coming. So we don't know what that's going to do. We think it's going to be less than before. However, what we really want to do is make sure everybody's safe when they get back. So with that said, we are going to have another briefing at 9 o'clock in the morning. Hopefully it wouldn't be as big of a mess as it was tonight. But just want to send this out to everybody so they can hear actually what was said during that news conference. Thank you. Have a great night. Be safe.
Daniel Wright, he is the police chief of Wrightsville Beach, and that's where it made landfall last night.
And, Tom, we have an update from the National Hurricane Center. They say the center of Florence is 30 miles west of Myrtle Beach inland and moving west-southwest at 5, but it really looks like it's almost stationary. Tremendous rain bands continue to come in over eastern North Carolina. Rainfall still 1 to 2 inches per hour. It's a dangerous storm, but the wind is dropping off.
And we're going to be checking in with the National Hurricane Center to get an idea of what's coming up, if the storm is moving or not. Stay tuned to Red Eye Radio.
Phone lines are open. 1-866-907-3339. 866-90-RED-EYE. For Gary McNamara and Eric Harley, here is meteorologist Tom Hale.
Thank you very much. Big, deep voice. And we are following Tropical Storm Florence as it continues to dump large amounts of rain. And it also has, the winds are not as stiff, but the problem is that the rain seems to be training over the same place, and it's really hard to tell if it's moving or not moving at all. And so let's go to the experts here at the National Hurricane Center, located in Miami, right by that big university, Miami. We have Dennis Felkin. He is the public affairs officer there. Dennis, are you there with me?
Good morning.
Good morning. So tell me, Dennis, how does a meteorologist that comes out of the frigid north of Minnesota end up in Miami?
It's a long and winding road, and probably more airtime than I've got to explain.
I bet so. I think it's pretty obvious. Everybody from Chicago and the north wants to live in Miami. Congratulations.
Yeah, it's funny. When I retire out of here, in the good Lord willing, here in a couple of years, I'm going back to Minnesota.
Oh, my gosh. Here. There, I just make you feel at home. Hey,
What's
going on with Florence right now? This is the poor man's meteorologist geek thing. We've measured that in the 5 hours that Steve Lenore and myself have been on the air, we have measured that it has moved 10 miles from Myrtle Beach to the west or so in that direction. That works out to be 2 miles,
right.
2 miles an hour is its current movement.
That's pretty close. The official tabulation from our senior hurricane specialist has it moving west-southwest at 5 miles per hour, and that's just kind of spits and spurts. It's spent most of the late night and pre-dawn hours parked essentially over extreme eastern South Carolina. So as long as the core of the storm is over land, it, of course, is going to be weakening. Winds are now down to a maximum of 50 miles per hour with higher gusts, and this is exactly what we expected. This is transforming now from a wind event along the coast and the storm surge now to a catastrophic rain event over the interior portions, especially South Carolina and North Carolina. We've got some rainfall amounts of have already exceeded 24 inches. That's in Newport, North Carolina, and that was as of midnight.
Wow,
feet of rain.
Newport. Don't you guys have a radar up in Newport?
We have our radars all over the East Coast, so but that's an actual rainfall measurement. That's not a Doppler estimate. That's an actual rainfall estimate.
No, what I was meaning is you've got a weather office up in Newport, also Newport, Moorhead City area?
Yes, we sure do.
And I have yet to be able to talk to them because apparently they've got power, phone, all kinds of issues.
Right. I think they have their hands full there.
Yeah, it's an understatement. How much? Repeat that again for our listeners. How much rain that is?
We have a measurement of 24 inches. That's 2 feet of rainfall at Newport, North Carolina. And that's as of midnight. It's still raining.
Well, and do you have a figure handy right now for just a little bit down the road at Morehead City?
I don't have any current estimates. I know as of 5 p.m. yesterday, they were already up to about 20 inches, but okay. I don't have any figures yet.
Okay, I believe I saw some number that they were up over 30 inches.
There. That would make sense. They were in that area that the Weather Prediction Center was saying commonly 20 to 30 with isolated 40, so they're probably well on their way. And as you mentioned earlier, with this thing parked over extreme South Carolina, we've got these bands of heavy, heavy rainfall, which are essentially training over the same areas. So not only are they getting the torrential rain, but there's nowhere for the water to go but up.
Well, I'm looking at a band that is just below the Outer Banks, which seems to be the one edge is near Morehead City, Atlantic Beach, and that band of rain then stretches back down to somewhere near like Sneed's Ferry or North Topsail Beach. And that band looks to be about 100 miles long going into the Atlantic. On radar, right now.
That's exactly it. I'm staring at it right now on the radar, and that is exactly what's going on. And this is just rinse and repeat. It just keeps going over the same area.
It would be a
very different scenario if the storm was moving quickly, but it's not. So you're getting all this heavy rain over essentially the same area.
And so it's training, folks. This is what
we call training. Yeah,
and
the boxcar effect, right?
Exactly. In other words, there is a track that runs 100 miles out into the Atlantic, and it curves around and it pushes its way up and ends up somewhere near Goldsboro, maybe LaGrange, Kingston, New Bern, and that's the northern edge of it. And so if you are in Richards, Half Moon, oh, my goodness, yeah. Jacksonville. Yeah.
The point we want to get across to all our listeners here is this is a life-threatening, catastrophic event for the flash floods and the prolonged significant river flooding. We're going to be talking into this early next week, and this is going to continue over the Carolinas today, the southern to central Appalachians from western North Carolina into west central Virginia, and even far western West Virginia are going to feel the direct impacts of this thing. And to make it worse, there actually could be some landslides in the higher terrain because of all the water just pulling on those trees and just pulling everything down.
In fact, we're going to do some checking on the Appalachian Trail shortly in regards to the landslide issues. But what I'm hearing you say is something like turn around, don't drown.
Turn around, don't drown.
Yeah. By the way, were you guys the ones responsible at the Weather Service for that song?
Yes, it was the National Weather Service that I don't think anybody in the Weather Service wrote the lyrics. I think they got a professional for that, but or scientist. But yeah. it's a good jingle, and it's been a very good campaign. It's very simple, easy to remember. And it works, and we hope people will just remember those four simple words that could save your life. Turn around, don't drown.
Wow, incredible. And by the way, you need to pass this up the chain at the Weather Service. After we started playing the song this evening, it lit up our phones across the country. We had calls from the West Coast to the East Coast, and so you may have a chart-moving hit on your hands. Turn around, don't drown. Yeah.
Maybe we'll make the Billboard Top 40.
I think you just start sending that out, emailing that clip to every radio station, tell them add it to their rotation of current hits, without a doubt. It'll be very popular. It'll be very popular in the Carolinas right now.
Yes.
Dennis, thank you very much for your time. I appreciate it very much. I know you need to get back and get the ball rolling, letting people know what's going on. And if you can do anything about speeding this bad boy up, that would be great.
My saying in TV, as you know, is because you've done it too, we're in sales, not production, but we hope for the best.
Yeah, without a doubt. This is Dennis Felkin. Dennis is your title is Public Affairs Director?
Communications and Public Affairs Officer, National Hurricane Center.
Well, thank you very much. We appreciate your time, and you guys are doing a great job.
Thank you, sir. Much appreciated.
You have a great morning and the rest of the day. All right. You know what? I think in honor of Dennis's movement of let's make sure we do it right. Why don't we do it one more time?
If the water is flowing at the low water crossing, turn around.
Yeehaw! Everybody join me here. Yeehaw!
Don't risk your life, don't do it. You might not make it through it.
Turn around.
Yeehaw! Turn around. Might take a little time to heed the warning signs and turn around. Turn around. Turn around.
Turn around. Do not drown. Yeah. You know what? The one nice thing about that song, it is the perfect lead into the next thing that I want to talk about here on Red Eye Radio. And by the way, we're going to be here. Steve Lenore and myself are going to be back here again tomorrow night. So please join us. We'll be here at 10 o'clock Pacific time and 1 o'clock East Coast time and all the time in between. But mudslides, Dennis mentioned that, in the hills and the mountains that border the Carolinas, it's going to still rain there. And it's going to be raining there into Monday and into Tuesday. And because of the tropical moisture that is thick, this is rich atmosphere. If you're in it, you know what I'm talking about. It's almost kind of like thick. You breathe it in and it's almost moisture. And short and sweet about all this bad boy is that the Appalachians are not going to be in good shape.
The National Park Service and the U.S. Forest Service have closed portions of the trail in both North Carolina and Virginia because of the storm. The Appalachian Trail Conservancy is urging hikers to get off the trail and seek shelter. The nonprofit says dangerous conditions could include falling trees, flash floods, and mudslides.
And that's Westwood One's correspondent Bill Michaels wanting to let you know that mudslides are going to be an issue. And so the situational awareness, know where you live. If you live in one of those places that has runoff and rain, then know where you live and be prepared to recognize this is going to be one of those situations where we could have some very dangerous mudslides from the rains associated with Tropical Storm Florence as we finally work our way to get Florence out of here. But currently, Florence isn't moving all that fast, about 2 miles an hour. Now, you'll see it on the bulletins as 5, because I think that's about as low down as they're allowed to go. So, we'll be right back on Red Eye Radio. This is meteorologist Tom Hale, Steve Lenore. We'll be right back.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
Meteorologist Tom Hale, along with Steve Lenore, meteorologist. And by the way, we're going to be back tonight to continue the coverage overnight into Sunday morning in regards to Tropical Storm Florence. It still has a lot more rain to dump, and we've got Westwood One news correspondent Clayton Neville, and he is in, Clayton, you're in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina right now. Am I correct?
Yeah, guys, that's right. I'm in Myrtle Beach, been here for the last couple days. You know, it was kind of hard when I first got here tracking the storm because it kept changing directions. We didn't realize how far south it was going to go, and then I had to head back north. So I've been to Raleigh, down to Charleston, and then now planted here in Myrtle Beach for the last couple days. And since I've got here, the rain has been coming down. It hasn't stopped, and it doesn't look like it's going to let up anytime soon.
No, actually, I'm looking at it right here, and I can tell you that if you go further down the beach line, the rain lets up a little bit. But when you come in down on what would be road down to 17 and the road that goes up to, Cold Spring and toward Homewood and Conway, back up in that direction, the rain continues to intensify right around the heart of that circulation. And by the way, you may not have noticed this, but it hasn't really moved.
No, yeah, you know what? That's funny that you say that because, of course, the story has been how slow moving it is. But, I did get a couple hours sleep, and so I jumped up, looked outside, and the conditions hadn't changed much at all. In fact, it almost seemed the exact same as when I went to bed a few hours ago compared to how it is this morning. The winds have actually calmed down a little bit, it seems like. But other than that, it's still dark, and rain is still coming down pretty steadily. Now, it's not like an extreme heavy downpour, but it's just consistent
windy rain, and it's been that way for, well, probably 24 hours now at least.
And what you actually have, Clayton, is you've got the good part of the storm. I know that may seem crazy, but you have the wind, but you also have the good part of the storm, because if you go further up the coastline and you get up toward north of Wilmington and back up through Topsail and in that direction and over to Jacksonville, everything in that particular area, there are strong thunderstorm bands that extend a feeder band over 100 miles down into the Atlantic, and it's then just swinging its way northward as it moves its way through, training over the exact same places. And so for the folks that are going to be up near Raleigh and all the way down to the coastline and up to Warsaw and Clinton and Jacksonville, there are some bands that are just going to be continual heavy downpours of at least an inch to sometimes an inch to 2 inches an hour, and it's just going to continue. So easily tonight, overnight, they could pick up anywhere from 4 to 8 inches of additional rain in this band coming across Wilmington and to the south of Raleigh and through Fayetteville. What you have is the light, steady rain that's coming through right near the eye of the storm.
Yeah, and so what officials here in Myrtle Beach will be looking at here in just a couple hours when the sun comes up is, you know, how much flooding has been caused by this. It won't nearly be as much, it doesn't look like, as what they're dealing with in parts of North Carolina at all. And, you know, one of the main concerns was how is this area going to be able to handle all of this water? And, of course, today won't be the only predictor of that. They'll have to deal with tomorrow and the next day and probably the next few after that with all of the rivers peeking out and cresting. But as far as Myrtle Beach and that surrounding area is concerned, it seems like, and we'll tell more when the sun comes up, but they've fared okay so far.
Well, we're looking forward to hearing your reports as we go through tomorrow. Clayton Neville, correspondent with Westwood One in Myrtle Beach. And I'm meteorologist Tom Hale, along with meteorologist Steve Lenore. We're going to be back tonight and continuing into Sunday morning as our continuous coverage continues of Tropical Storm Florence.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One.